So many of you, like myself, we have day-to-day routines that we perform each and every day. You know, the ones where you set your alarm the night before, before you go to bed at the regular time, the same time, and it's set for the same, that same alarm is set, it's the same alarm that you set yesterday, and the day before that. And you wake up, and you get out of bed, you hit the snooze button, but you can only hit the snooze button 3 times, because if you hit it at that 4th time, or if you turn it off, chances are you'll fall back asleep, and you'll miss, and you'll be late for what you need to be late for. But what do you really need to be late for? Late for what? You know, for the rest of your day, for the rest of your routine? So raise your hand. How many of you, and for those that are watching on Facebook Live, nod your head, you know, how many of you have this situation? I know I do too. You know, my daily routine also means that I've got a 25-minute commute into downtown Madison. And on most mornings, I'll listen to ESPN radio, or I'll listen to Wisconsin Public Radio on my way in, depending on just how I'm feeling. But then there are the mornings when I drive in silence. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Too often, we conform to the patterns of our daily lives. We do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and sometimes out of necessity. But other times, we do it just because that's simply what we do. And what happens? Well, we become numb to the outside world while performing our routine. Do I have to go to work? Yes. Do I have to conform to taking the most direct route every day that I go to work? Maybe. Do I have to drive there? Maybe there's a different route that I can take. Or maybe I could ride a bike. And what if I were to stop somewhere in between my home and work to break up that routine? There are many a morning where I will stop at a Quick Trip to get a cup of coffee, a breakfast sandwich, or a muffin. These mornings really allow me to break up that routine just enough so that way I can interact with those around me. You know, maybe it be the holding the door open for the patron that's coming in right behind me. Maybe it be exchanging pleasantries with the Quick Trip baristas who make the coffee every morning. Or maybe it be just a simple conversation with the clerk as you're checking out. They all provide us and provide me an opportunity to say, "God bless you today," or "have a blessed day." Maria and Kathy Parkowitzki, when they were here, they really exemplified this. Maria spoke of a time where she and Kathy, they took routine walks up and down State Street, but they described one time where they began a conversation with a homeless individual. And the way that Maria described the man was that he looked rough, and the way she meant was really, really rough. Dirty, unshaven, unkept, wearing all of his belongings and nothing else. You know, badly in need of food. But they decided to approach him and begin a conversation. They were called to approach him and begin this conversation. And then after the conversation, Maria spoke of his life as if he were the most interesting man in the world. She talked about how he traveled across the United States, and was returning, just as if he had returned from them, really describing in detail all of the major cities of the United States and the beauty and the glory that he saw in them. She noted that this man had been in the army, and it had served, and he spoke of this wanting and potential desire to go back and re-enlist into the army, speaking of all of his experiences that he had once had. And after spending about 45 minutes with this individual, Maria said that she and Kathy, on their subsequent walks down on State Street, would go out looking for this man, just only to re-engage in that conversation. They didn't conform to the patterns of just walking up and down State Street. They didn't conform to the patterns of just passing this individual by. They stopped and had a conversation when others, who may not stop, who may not offer shelter or food, who may not show the compassion, they may not even see that man sitting there on the street. So leading up to that encounter, the sermon series was about stepping out of your comfort zone. And Maria and Kathy were becoming transformed through the power of Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. They were not new in their faith. They were not early in their faith walk, but they renewed their minds by pushing their personal boundaries and limitations. Maria and Kathy, they saw the beauty, the man's beauty, because the Lord was in their hearts. Likewise, Jason Ron here, part of the ministry strategy team, he spoke to me of a similar experience while he was walking around the state capitol. He works downtown in another state agency. He told me that he often goes for coffee and that there's an individual who he has spoken to on numerous occasions as well. Sometimes Jason buys him a cup of coffee for warmth, and with that warmth comes an interaction. And more importantly, on most occasions, it comes that relates into a large smile. Jason doesn't conform to the patterns of this world but as well by just walking past this individual. He stops, and he sees the beauty within that man through those interactions. But this message today isn't just all about smelling the roses a different way. Our scripture also today from Philippians 4:8 speaks of performing in a manner that is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And the God of peace will be with you. There have been so many recent tragedies in the world today of late. Too many to think of. And yet, the one that stands out is the Parkland, Florida shooting that occurred on Valentine's Day. A single gunman ultimately shot down 17 and wounded 14. A couple of the students spoke up about the occurrence. One in particular, David Hogg, called the deadly shooting something that is completely unacceptable and that we need to take action on, adding that there shouldn't be any more children that die. He made these statements a day after the shooting, and he has become ultimately an advocate for gun control and an activist against gun violence. A second student, with tears in his eyes, Samuel Zeif, was interviewed at the White House a week after the shooting occurred. And Sam spoke of his now famous text back and forth between his brother Matthew. Matthew was on the third floor of where the shootings occurred and saw his teacher, Scott Beagle, die while he was protecting his classmates. Sam's words for that interview, they ring true in that he said, "No brothers or sisters or family members or anyone should ever have to share those texts with anyone. I lost my best friend. I'm here to use my voice because I know he can't. I know he's with me, cheering me on to be strong, but it's hard. Let's be strong for the fallen that do not have a voice anymore. And never, ever let this happen again. Please, please." Regardless of what you, whether you're for gun control or you're against gun violence, both David and Sam spoke in a manner that's true, that's noble, that's right, that's admirable, and that's praiseworthy. The strength and courage of these two students to make those statements, they were directly affected by this horrible tragedy, and who could have withdrawn, who could have let the politicians try to hammer out what the rules are and laws are, who could have just remained silent, but they didn't. Their love for their fellow students in such a manner that they decided to dedicate fight, and to fight for the fallen students' legacies. David Hogg and Samuel Zeif, they're not conforming to the patterns of this world. They're not staying silent. They didn't withdraw. Their words are praiseworthy, and they're seeing the beauty and presenting the beauty within the world of ugliness that occurred. Likewise, Ashley Judd was the first individual to come out against Harvey Weinstein with accusations of sexual harassment. When asked in a recent interview as to why she came forward and why she was actually doing this and where the courage came from, Ashley said her courage, quote, "came from that little girl inside of me and my commitment to doing right by her." The cost to Ashley for this, her career. But more importantly, the cost of doing nothing to her was greater. It was the cost of her integrity. And as a result of her bravery and her integrity, Ashley has jump-started a movement against all of those who sexually harass women and giving women who have been harassed the strength, the power, and a voice to stand up to their harassers. Throughout the interview, she continued and said, "Harvey has given us a great gift. He has revealed the old ways in Hollywood. And we have sort of flung open the barn door wide open. The joy of the stampede, I did not realize, would be so joyous." Ashley Judd isn't conforming to the patterns of this world. The national Me Too campaign is true, it's right, it's noble, it's admirable, it's praiseworthy, it's excellent, and it's joyous. She's seeing the beauty within a world of ugliness and darkness, where now there are thousands of women who now see that beauty as well. So during my commutes to work this past week, the ones I made in silence, I looked out towards the snow, most of it is melted now, but I looked out towards the snow and said, gave a prayer of thanks. It gave the opportunity for the kids to go out sledding one more time. As much as we may or may not want to deal with it, it's beauty. I thought of this sermon and how I was really anxious about it. I gave a prayer, to the Lord for strength, and so that way I could deliver this, his message. I thought about the albino squirrel that in our neighborhood is going up and chewing on arborvitae branches. Why? Well, because they pull the bark off the arborvitae branches, and it's actually a tasty treat for squirrels. And I said a prayer of forgiveness for that squirrel because it's an albino squirrel. How often do you see a white squirrel running around? I thought about Pastor Kristen's message last week when she spoke of Christ's journey through his final days as being offensive and even ugly. And I thought about Christ Jesus on the cross dying for our sins, bloodied, stoned, torn, crown of thorns, filthy, left to die, ugly. And yet, my God, why have you forsaken me? Through his love, he sacrificed his life, his noble, his right, his pure life, so that we can be given eternal life. And for that, I see the beauty in that. Do you see the beauty in that? Amen.